Hey guys, my name's Kayla.
And my name's Travers.
And this is...
Hello, my name is True Crime.
Today, I think we should probably give you a warning.
Yeah, a little disclaimer.
Mm-hmm. Today's episode is...
fucked up.
Yeah, so if you are sensitive to...
fucked up things.
Yeah, you should, you know, maybe just skip this one. We won't be offended.
Yeah.
I promise.
We won't. No. There's going to be plenty more in store for all y'all.
Yeah.
Ugh.
If the Armin Mivas episode bothered you... this one will as well.
Yeah, like a lot.
Yeah.
Probably more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I find it to be a lot more disturbing than the Armin Mivas one.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, it's pretty disturbing, but this is disturbing on a totally different level.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about Ed Gein, a.k.a. the body snatcher of Wisconsin, a.k.a. like a shit ton of other names that you'll learn as we go through the, you know, the episode. So
yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
It is very interesting. And let's not forget, it's freaking crazy.
It's crazy.
It's so crazy.
This episode's crazy. As always. So Mr. Ed, that was a show.
I believe it was a show about a talking
a horse. A horse is a horse, of course.
Yeah.
But this is a different
you
Mr. Ed.
You nailed it.
So Ed, he has been the inspiration to a ton of movies that you're all probably familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Films like Psycho, Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. Massacre.
Yeah. Potato, potato.
So they pretty much just took like bits and pieces of Ed. Not physically.
Man, that was in poor taste. Oh, God.
And created these characters. So, like, Norman Bates from Psycho, he's portraying Ed.
From more of a mental
side. Yeah, and, like, the mommy's boy type of thing. Right. And then, what was the guy's name in Silence of the Lambs that dances around?
Oh, man, Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, Buffalo Bill. He's, you know... inspired by Ed, and then Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yep, and we all know why they called him Leatherface.
Oh, yeah. So, if you know you haven't turned this off yet, this kind of gives you a little more look at what we're going to be talking about. So.
Not to mention the foul way it started with the couple of F-bombs I dropped.
Yeah, you know, it's cases like this deserve crazy language, I suppose.
Yes, I agree. I fully support that. Non-censoring. Yeah. Full-fledged
crazy
chaos.
Shit. Yeah. So, Ed, like I said, he was mostly known as the Plainfield Ghoul or the Butcher of Plainfield due to the body snatching. Yes, body snatching.
That's correct.
And murders he had committed in Plainfield, Wisconsin during the mid to late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Edward Theodore Gein, you guys know Ed Gein.
Ed Gein.
If you haven't already, you know, figured that out. He was born on August 27th, 1906. And he was the youngest of the two sons born to Augusta and George Gein. Ed's mother, Augusta, was a vile and overbearing, abusive woman. And his childhood mostly consisted significantly of her belittling his father, George, either to his face or to Ed and his older brother, Henry. She often did this in public as well. Like, she was a wonderful, wonderful woman.
What a gem.
Great mother. She despised George mostly because he was unable to keep a job due to his problem with alcohol.
Gee, I wonder why he had a problem with alcohol.
Mm-hmm. George liked to drink a little. He loved his alcohol. After work, George would go to the local tavern.
Tavern.
Tavern, not a bar. and spend all of his money there getting drunk before going home with pretty much liquid courage to beat his wife.
Oh,
so,
my God. What a functional relationship.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Jesus
criminy. She was very dominant and, you know, always picking on George. And I am absolutely not saying that this gave him the right to do this. They should have just split and, like,
oh my God,
you know, let the kids grow up in a better home. But he would go get drunk, and then he would finally have the courage to stand up to his wife, and he would eventually, like, end up beating her. And every single time this would happen, Augusta would end up on her knees praying to God that he, like, to kill her husband. Yeah. So they had a wonderful relationship.
Jesus, criminy. Why would somebody even stay in that?
I don't know.
Like, you get, I think people really lose sight of the whole, like, reason and stuff behind marriage.
Right. I guess that Augusta fell in love or fell for George because he was a pushover. Surprise, surprise. And I really couldn't figure out why George, you know, fell in love with Augusta, because I'm not trying to be mean here, but she was a very vile woman.
Vile.
Like, everything
physically
I,
as well as inside.
Everything I, like, could find about her, she was just super mean and nasty. Like, she was just a very mean lady.
Was
so,
she banging hot?
I mean, I don't know. You know, pictures from, like, the early 1900s are, like, difficult to, like,
oh, yeah, they weren't allowed to
look at someone.
Yeah, like, no smiling.
Right.
Or your soul will be taken.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they're just like,
she just looked very mean and angry in her
pictures. They all looked
as
mean
well.
And angry
exactly.
In their pictures, though.
So it's kind of hard to, like, judge. She was probably just like that in general, so.
Yeah. He's like, what up, girl?
Yeah. So, although George worked many jobs throughout the years, he, again, was unable to hold a job for very long. And at one point, though, he owned a local grocery store in La Crosse County, Wisconsin. And he had this for a few years, but he eventually sold it. And this was Augusta's wish. And it gave her the chance to finally move from the city of sin to a 155-acre farm that was more righteous and isolated in Plainfield. And if you're kind of picking up what I'm putting down, she was a pretty religious woman.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be really religious in order to, in a very Christian-like fashion, pray to God to kill your husband.
But it gets better. Or worse, I suppose. In addition to the wonderful traits that Augusta possessed, she was also deep-seated with religion, and with the family being in an isolated location, she began to have more control over, quote-unquote, her boys.
Why'd you say, quote-unquote, over her
because,
boys? Because... Were they not her boys?
Yes, they were. Like, I mean, to the extent that she was, like, obsessed with, like, keeping her sons. It's crazy. So she would not allow Henry and Edward to befriend any outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
So this meant that they were only allowed to leave the farm to go to school. And then when they were home, they were to be doing chores on the farm, and the afternoons were always taken up by Augusta reading the Bible to them. This was pretty much just her preaching to them about the immoralities of the world, the evils of drinking, because she had to, you know, take a stab at George there, and how she fully, 150% believed that all women, except for her, were whores, promiscuous, and instruments of the devil. Like, she preached to them all the time about how women were just sexual deviant whores, and that they should stay away from women and not have sex, and all this, like, super, super crazy stuff.
Meanwhile, as George prepared the bottle for the newly born brothers, what? Like,
yeah.
She's crazy.
Crazy. And since Edward's mother was so controlling, she would punish him and his brother if they tried making friends.
Ugh.
She wanted them to have no influence whatsoever from the outside world. And Edward had extremely poor social development skills.
I wonder.
But he became very attached to his mom.
Huh.
I mean, it's a given, you know, if she's the only influence in his life.
Right.
But his classmates and his teachers would say that he was very shy and strange. They said that he would sometimes burst into laughter during class, which Edward had told them that he was laughing at his own jokes. When I read this, I was like, is that really that weird? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I guess it is, but, like, you know, I've cracked up at my own jokes before.
I've done the same. I'm very guilty of that.
But I guess this was, like, an all-the-time type of thing.
Yeah, when we were brushing up on this prior to recording it, I'd made mention that it reminded me of the movie that has recently come out with Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that is a really good movie. I haven't watched it yet. And it pertains to an illness, like a mental illness that exists in the world where people just like they just laugh. Like if they're uncomfortable or suffering from anxiety, like most people would cry or freak out, and he laughs.
Right.
And I don't know. I really want
to. Well, I mean, maybe that was going on with him.
Maybe
again,
a little
like
bit.
I said, he did admit that he was laughing at his own jokes in his head. So,
right.
And back then, like, they diagnosed people with, like, the craziest things. Like, you have consumption. Well, what the hell is consumption?
It's just somebody that drinks alcohol.
I think it's just like, oh, you're going to die of consumption. Well, isn't that like they just have a cold and they're dying? Like, they didn't know what they had. Is that what it's called? Consumption?
I believe consumption. I'm probably wrong, but I'm pretty sure it really had to do with drinking.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to die of
it
consumption,
just seems like
which
everybody
means
had consumption
you're
going to
have liver cancer and die from drinking alcohol.
Okay.
Like, basically.
Well, I guess
you know
that makes
I mean.
More sense then.
But I don't know. We'll have to possibly edit this out.
Yeah. So, despite having odd behavior and no social skills, Edward did okay in school academically. Like, he wasn't like a genius or anything. He was average intelligence, but he excelled in reading. And this was until he finished going to school in seventh grade. And then he started working full time on the family farm. And ultimately, this meant that he would have very little to no contact with the outside world besides his mother and her, you know, radical teachings.
Uh-huh. And as we all know, the less social interaction you have, the better your social skills get.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, while doing this episode, it really reminded me of the Armin Mivas case.
Absolutely.
It's like so similar. It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
In 1940, George Gein, the father, he died suddenly. And this left Henry and Ed, now adults in their 30s, with Augusta as their only influence. Though the brothers started working odd jobs to keep the family afloat, tension had began to really grow between the two brothers. So Ed had always been keen on pleasing their mother, no matter how much disappointment she showed towards him. But now that it was just the trio, her dominance had grew even more. Great mother of the year.
I would like to rewind it back a little bit, how we just so cavalierly breezed over the fact that George Gein died suddenly.
Well, he had liver cancer.
Oh, he died of consumption.
Yeah, he died of consumption.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
no, he had liver cancer.
What if somebody just sneaked a little bit of rat poison in there with his consuming problems? You know?
I mean, I wouldn't put it past her.
Neither
but,
would I.
You know.
I'm pretty sure that his sudden death had to do immensely with
the stress that she caused and, like, you know, in turn, he drank himself
really
to death.
I think either A, he drank himself to death, or B, she deathed himself to death.
She didn't. He died of liver cancer. So, Henry had began dating a divorced mother of two, which I'm sure his mom loved that, you know, those whores out there having kids unmarried.
Yep.
And he planned on leaving the farm to move in with her. Probably the best decision he could make, because I'm telling you what, this got really crazy. Like, I don't even think that I am explaining it well enough about how crazy Augusta was and how much control she had over them. Like, she was she turned her dominance from George once he was gone to
Ed.
The boys.
Yeah. And what was the other one's name?
Henry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, here. Like, is this like borderline Freudian kind of like
kind
the
of.
Mom's like one step away from like sexual relations with
well,
these kids?
I don't think that necessarily the mom was, but Ed literally became obsessed with his mom. So when they portrayed Norman Bates from him,
mm-hmm.
like that's That's how he was. Like, yeah. He was obsessed with his mom.
Yeah, it's so weird.
But again, she was the only woman in his life.
Right.
And once,
of course, she portrayed herself as the godliest woman.
Like, he seen her as his best friend and only love.
Yeah.
So, Henry started to worry about how attached Ed was to their mother, and he tried talking him into moving out as well, maybe living on his own, meeting a few ladies, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
But this didn't go over very well, and in Ed's mind, he felt that Henry was speaking poorly of their mother, and he became angry with him.
Oh, man.
So, again, like I said, the tension was just growing between the two, and Ed was angry. He did not want to speak with his brother. He just wanted to get their work done and get in and be with mommy. Like, he wanted no, you know, nothing to do with Henry.
That's so weird.
Then on May 16th, 1944, the brothers were out doing work on the, like, around the farm, and they were burning away some marsh vegetation, and I'm assuming that's just, like, overgrown bushes and stuff, and this was all around the property, and a fire apparently got out of control because they were burning the vegetation, and the fire became so large that the fire department actually had to come out to the farm and help put it out. But after the fire was extinguished, Ed claimed that he couldn't find Henry and then reported him missing. Suspicious.
But how could you kill your own brother just for talking schmack on your mama?
Well, because he was obsessed. He was obsessed. So by that evening, a search party was formed and Henry's body was found on the farm, and he was found lying face down, and it seemed that he had been dead for some time. So who knows when he had died, but sometime between when they started burning the vegetation to when he was found.
Bear in mind, this is still like around like, what, the 1930s?
The 40s, 1944, yeah.
Okay, so the cause of death appeared to be heart failure, mostly because he had not sustained any burns or other injuries.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was reported later that there were bruises on Henry's head. That's pretty weird, right? Even still, the coroner ruled asphyxiation, and police dismissed any possibility of foul play.
That's crazy.
So there was no formal investigation done. Many found Henry's death suspicious and suspected that Edward killed his brother.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, it's pretty, I don't know,
from
it's pretty
what,
obvious.
What we've compiled already, it's pretty much just all signs point to Ed.
I mean, clearly he was pissed off at him for talking about mom and...
Right.
And I
mean, none
perfect.
Of the wounds are correlating with
exactly
the death or alleged way of dying. And again, 1940s, right?
Yeah.
Early 1900s.
They didn't have technology like they do today to...
No. So I'm pretty sure, back to the whole George thing, maybe the guy was like, yeah, his liver shot
you're
to shit.
You're stuck on this. You're like, you're
this family is
convinced
not
that Augusta,
fucking normal.
Like, did him in.
Augusta was like, fuck you. And then Ed's like, hey, fuck you, Henry. And now it's just Ed and Augusta.
Just mommy and Ed. Yep.
Augusta.
Exactly.
Yep.
So after Henry's death, like you said, it was just mommy and Ed. And he was happy because he finally just had her all to himself.
Yeah,
but
there's so much farm work to be done. It's just two people.
Right. How are they going to do it
all? I don't know. That wasn't a smart move. They should have had more kids.
Right. Well, within a year, Augusta suffered a stroke, and this left her paralyzed and bedridden. And despite Augusta's continued verbal abuse, Edward devoted all of his time to taking care of her until she died in December 1945. So she literally died about a year after, within the year of Henry dying.
Good.
It's crazy.
Making a murderer.
Pretty much. So Ed was completely devastated by his mother's death, and with the house now to himself, he decided that he was going to board up all the rooms, and he kept every single room that his mother used untouched and as she left them. Meanwhile, the rest of the house was absolutely disgusting.
Dun,
I've seen
dun,
pictures
dun.
Of this, and
oh, I did too.
There was just trash everywhere. Piles and piles of trash, furniture, household items. Like, it was something that we would see in an episode of Hoarders. And I am so serious about that. And he pretty much just lived and spent all of his time in the kitchen area. and we'll probably find out why he did that.
Oh boy, I'm so excited. I can't wait. Oh.
Yeah.
After Augusta's death, Ed continued to keep to himself, working on the farm, going into town when he needed something from the grocery store or the hardware store. People living in Plainfield had no idea what was brewing in that house. They would get a rude awakening on November 16th, 1957.
So, Bernice Warden, she was the owner of the Plainfield hardware store, and she went missing on November 16th, 1957. Throughout the day, many of the townspeople noticed that the hardware store was closed, but pretty much just chucked it up to the fact that it was deer season and thought that, well, maybe the store was closed for the day due to hunting. And then around 5 p.m., Deputy Sheriff Frank Warden, who was Bernice's son, returned from hunting to find that the hardware store was closed. And he's like, the fuck? Like,
Ma, where's my sandwich?
Yeah. So he found it odd that she wasn't there and the front door was unlocked and the back door was wide open. So, you know, that's suspicious.
All the makings for something suspicious.
Right. So after looking around the store, he noticed that in the front where the cash register was, there was a large pool of blood leading out the front door. Along with the opened register drawer was a, like, the last sales receipt that Bernice wrote up for a gallon of antifreeze.
Interesting. You know what? If I were a detective back in those days, all signs would probably point to somebody passing away of consumption and then dragging their body off to their own grave.
Yeah, right. So once police arrived to the hardware store, Frank informed them that just the day before, Mr. Gein had been in the store and told them that he would be back the next morning to purchase a gallon of antifreeze and showed them the last sales receipt, which was in fact written out to Ed. And after looking around the hardware store, they decided that, well, we need to go arrest Ed and search the Gein farm. And this is when they lost their shit. Like, their world was rocked, right? So after arriving at the farm, they found that Bernice's naked body was hanging in the shed. She had been decapitated and was hanging by her feet from a crossbar. Her torso had been cut from waist to chest, and some of her organs had been taken out. Along with all this, the officers had noticed that Bernice had also been shot. After finding Bernice's headless body, officers started combing the property and found a huge amount of disturbing things.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to give another warning.
Warning!
Warning.
Warning.
The following information you are about to hear is not suitable for children. And
or
if you have a weak stomach, turn away now.
Yes.
Run for the hills.
It's gross.
Once they started searching Edward's home, they soon found a slew of alarming items.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Here it comes.
There was furniture that had been upholstered in human skin.
Human skin. That's correct.
And it was like not just one human. He had sewn together different people's skin to upholster this furniture. There were soup bowls that had been sawed, like the tops were sawed off of the skulls to make soup bowls. There was lampshades made from flesh. There was a box of human noses.
Oh, God, why?
This is kind of disgusting, so buckle up.
No oh, God, come on. You're so bad today.
There was a belt of nipples that had a buckle on the end of it.
Buckle up.
There was window shade drawstrings with lips, like human lips. Oh, my gosh. There was a box of women genitalias. Like, there were whole faces. Like, he had peeled the faces
oh God.
Carefully and stuck them to the wall, like wall art.
Be a little more graphic.
I'm sorry.
no, that's fine.
They also found that there were bodysuits that had been fashioned from different people. Leggings made from human flesh of different bodies. And they just ran out of there like
what
nobody's
the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Can you imagine stumbling upon this?
No, I cannot.
I
really
can't.
Like, it takes a lot to upset me and, like, gross me out and stuff. That would just, I mean, not expecting that at all.
Right. Even finding Bernice's body, yeah. Like, that's one thing. But right. This?
Yeah. Like, at that point, they're probably like, hey, you know, going over specifically just to question him, mm-hmm. less so exactly. to arrest him. Just kind of like, hey, you were the last person there.
We suspect that you did something to her.
Have you seen Bernice?
You then know. They find her body.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, there might be, you
well,
know,
this is going
another
dead
body.
Completely different direction than what yeah. we suspected it would. Yeah.
So they're like, what the actual fuck? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Where did all these fucking bodies come from?
Yeah. So Edward had admitted that he would use the skin suits to dress up like a woman in his new skin and pretend to be his mother. And this was something that he started creating soon after she died. He told them that he just felt like he wanted to crawl inside of his mother's skin.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to laugh at this. Like, it's not funny. It's really fucked up.
It's really fucked up. It's one of those, like, whenever we chuckle at fucked up shit like this, it's not us thinking it's funny.
It's because it's
us.
So
it's
crazy.
It's like that nervous chuckle thing that people do
yeah,
whenever
right.
they witness something seriously fucked up.
We want to take a second to thank our sponsors. Listen to some of your favorite shows ad-free with Stitcher Premium, like Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, My Favorite Murder, Science Rules with Bill Nye, and more.
Plus, get access to Stitcher Originals, bonus episodes, comedy albums, and more. Only $4.99 a month or $34.99 a year.
Go to stitcher.com/premium to sign up today and use promo code
Hello, my name is for 1 month free on your monthly plan.
So when police questioned Edward about the horrific scene found, he explained that while he was at the hardware store, he was examining a gun that was there, and after trying to load it, a bullet into it, the gun discharged, killing Bernice. He said that he didn't even have it aimed at her, and told police that he didn't remember anything after that. So, I mean, I'm not really familiar with, like, older guns back in, like, the 40s and 50s, but...
They're not too different from how they are
nowadays.
I'm
pretty sure that if you're not aiming a gun at somebody and trying to put a bullet into it, it's not going to accidentally go off and then
yeah.
have its own little, like, free reign of, like, where it wants to
That's all
go.
Suspicious, because granted it was in the 40s and things were different then than they are now substantially... I'm fairly certain and confident that the store owners would be carefully observing the tenants
Why?
While they're looking at something that the store still owns, and they definitely would not hand them any ammunition just to make sure that it goes in the right way.
Right.
Because, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, hello?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is an unlikely story. It's kind of a ridiculous story.
Oh,
I think
agree.
That's a cover for what he actually did.
Well... The whole, like, oh, I don't remember what I did after that.
But,
like, bullshit.
But honestly, with the exception of that, I think that he's been relatively, like, uncomfortably honest with everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, oh, it's just a skin suit I made so I could, like, you know, like, pretend to be my mom.
Well, I mean, how else are you going to explain all the, like, random body
right,
parts
right.
and skin
but,
from people in your house?
Yeah, not that part so much, but, like, just... Being inside his own head is one of the most normal things that he's experienced throughout his life.
Right.
And he doesn't know that other people aren't the way that he is.
Right.
You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? So, you know, thanks, Mom.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, like, awkwardness.
Yeah.
Like, he's not been around other people that much.
Right.
And so I totally get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he's probably just like, oh, well, other people, you know, like, they're like this too, right? I mean.
Yeah, he's just trying to justify his actions pretty
right.
much.
So in addition to Bernice... Edward had also admitted to a second victim who had been missing for about 3 years named Mary Hogan, and she was the owner of the local tavern. Her head was actually found in a box inside of Ed's house. Edward admitted to shooting Mary, but then during the trial, he said that he didn't have any memory at all of any of the details of her death. So, I mean... It seems like he's using this, like, I don't remember anything, just like he did with Bernice. So that's kind of interesting. Unless he's, like, having these, like, intense fits of some sort of rage or something.
Or
and
like a weird blackout.
Yeah, like, blackout, like, losing control. I don't know. It's very strange. Or he could just be, you know, saying that just to hopefully
avoid getting in too much trouble.
Right.
He's not the brightest crayon in the light bulb section.
Absolutely not.
But he probably is smart enough to realize right from wrong. And yeah, like, you know, well, maybe if I act like a dumber than I am, they'll be like, oh, this poor guy. Let's, like, put him away for, like, a little bit of murder instead of, like, a lot.
Maybe. So police were still really stunned and confused because even though he admitted to killing two people...
That didn't explain why there were 17 faces on the wall.
It wasn't, like, exactly. The amount of human remains that were found in the house exceeded two bodies.
Not human remains. Well, beautifully refurnished materials.
Right? Yeah. This is when Ed explained that between 1947 and 1952, he would sneak out into the local graveyards at night to dig up recently buried bodies of women that resembled his mother. He would then take their bodies back and tan their skin to make what he called his paraphernalia.
Ed referred to it. Yes. As his own paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia, yes.
What a dumbass.
It is believed, though, that Ed's mother was possibly the first of many graves in which he dug up and robbed. Most of the victims, after he found out about their deaths in the local newspaper, he would go dig the women up that same night that they were buried. So he kind of just, like, waited and watched the local papers, and if they looked like his mom, he would run out that night and dig up their bodies.
She doesn't have the same anti-smile. I don't know.
She doesn't look as mean.
She actually looks kind of pleasant. That's definitely...
not gonna work.
No.
He admitted to stealing from 9 of the 40-plus graves that he dug up during a daze-like state. He told police that during some of the graveyard visits, he would snap out of the daze and just go home empty-handed.
Oh, what a pity.
Yeah. Other times, though, while he would be out of it, he would take what he wanted from the bodies, and all of these graves to which he led investigators to, they participated in opening some of them just to make sure that it was possible, like that Ed was telling the truth.
Right.
That it was possible that he would be able to dig these up alone without any kind of like crazy, you know, machinery.
Yeah, sure.
They found that some of the graves that they dug up were in fact empty or missing like body parts, and they even found a crowbar left inside of
that's
one of them.
That's sloppy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good thing they didn't have fingerprinting as intensely then as they do now.
Right.
Police questioned him about necrophilia, and Ed denied doing anything sexual with the bodies, saying they smelled bad.
No, well, how kind of him.
I know, right? So, like, that's not, I mean, really? So, I like, know. The smell was essentially the only thing preventing him from being a complete and total sicko?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's surprising. Typically, when there's an obsession to this extent, it's arousing for them. And this becomes sexual in nature. You know?
It's a very common thing. Like sometimes what happens is something will happen in like their childhood.
Yeah.
And it'll be so traumatic for them that they, so say mommy beats them with their shoe.
Right.
Okay. And they want to please mommy and they want mommy to love them and not beat them. When they become adults, they will grow an obsession with shoes, and it becomes, like, it arouses them, so they'll, like, murder women based on their shoes or something. It's weird. They create this, like, obsession, and it becomes arousing. And, like, necrophilia, that happens a lot with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, to me, that's one of the fewer things that actually kind of makes sense.
Right.
To a, like... degree.
It's crazy. It's really crazy.
And still not at the same time. Ed was also a suspect in other unsolved cases like Evelyn Hartley, a babysitter in La Crosse who went missing in 1953. Ed was never proven to have been involved.
I mean, I think that if you're going to go out of your way to murder two people, wouldn't it be safe to say that you would probably murder a third one? And the fact that she is literally from the same area, like... Another thing, too, Ed used to babysit. That was one of his odd jobs. So maybe he, like, nicked her out of there just so he could have a babysitting job.
Oh, yeah. Because he did seem to, like, remove things that potentially stood in his way.
Right.
Whether it was, you know, insulting or just literal.
Exactly.
So the scene at the Gein house was so horrific that the officers were traumatized by the crime Ed committed and the things they found in the house.
Yes, yeah, so apparently even some of the officers, like, needed counseling after this. And one of them actually died. They said that they were pretty sure that the stress and, like, being traumatized caused them to have a heart attack. So
it was consumption.
They said, in their opinion, Ed had actually killed him.
Oh, that's not fucking fair.
But it was...
Oh, you got a weak heart and you died? That's Ed's fault.
Not that he died, just that they kind of blame that on Ed. But that would be, like, fucking scary and creepy and traumatizing. Yeah. Like,
and really,
that
can't
happen.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, stress can stress you out.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. Like, it's funny how, like, blame can work, in my opinion. Like, you can blame anybody or anything that you want to blame for whatever you want to blame it for. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, their initial reaction is, oh, well, that's Ed Gein's fault. And the reason it's Gein's fault is because he's the one that did all this. Well, the reason Ed Gein did all this stuff is because the way his mom fucking raised him.
Well, yeah.
So it's his mom's fault.
Yeah.
Or we could even go as far as to say that it's her mom's fault because she gave birth to such a thing.
You know, it kind of just goes back to, like, speaking of that, like, the nurture versus nature type of thing. And in my opinion, if you just look at this case side by side with the Armin Mivas case, clearly this is a case of nurture.
Yeah.
The way that they were raised brought out, I mean, and, you know, there could be a lot of, like, just nature in there too, like mental illness and stuff like that. So it's really interesting when you get into that, like, nature versus nurture type of thing.
Right.
And you can almost, like, see the signs and pinpoint, like, oh, wow, like, this is, and this is, it's cool.
But the nurture oftentimes creates the nature.
True. Originally, Gein was arraigned on one count of first-degree murder in November 1957, where he pled not guilty by reason of insanity.
Bullshit.
He was then diagnosed with schizophrenia, which that does make sense to me.
Yes.
And was found incompetent to stand trial and was then sent to Central State Hospital for the criminally insane. It's known now as the Dodge Correctional Institute. They're in, I think it's Wappoon, Wisconsin, before he was transferred to Mendota. I think it's Mendota State Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin.
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 Wisconsin. George, bring me the cheese. Sorry, my Wisconsin accent's
good. Do they all talk like that, probably, you think?
Probably, maybe.
Oh, my
God.
Wisconsin. Could you imagine Mrs. Gein talking like that? Like,
she was probably really, I just, anything that came out of her mouth, I'm sure, was just really mean and hateful. So
yeah.
She was a jerk.
Fuck you, George. I'm glad you're dead, you piece of shit. Dear God, thank you.
Yeah. That almost sounded Boston-y.
Sorry. What's the difference? Wisconsin, West Boston. I don't know. Anywho, in November 1968, after being deemed mentally able to participate in his defense, the trial began, which lasted a week, and held without a jury, where Edward was found guilty. However, a second trial occurred in regards to Ed's sanity, but was found not guilty by reason of insanity, and was committed to Central State Hospital for the criminally insane, where he had been until that point. Judge Gilmar, the judge for both trials, wrote, "Due to prohibitive costs, Gein was tried for only one murder, that of Mrs. Warden. He also admitted to killing Mary Hogan." Edward spent the rest of his life at Central State Hospital until his death on July 26, 1984, at age 77.
Yes, so when the judge made his comment, he was meaning that he was only tried for one murder due to financial reasons. So apparently the state just, I'm assuming, didn't have enough money to be able to have this big, long, drawn-out trial and investigate, you know, more than one murder. And also because he was deemed insane at the time he committed the crimes, but Can you imagine being like, oh, I mean, we know you killed 10 people, but yeah, we're kind of broke, so we're just going to try you for one.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous, but that's probably where court fees developed. You know, they're like, well, we can't really afford to prosecute them for all this shit, so let's start making all the victims, and not victims, but like defendants and and plaintiffs get billed our time.
I didn't think about that. You're probably right.
Came from somewhere.
Very interesting, yeah.
They were probably like, hey, how about taxes? Let's
yeah. So over the years, people have chipped away pieces of Edward's gravestone so they could keep him as souvenirs until the entire stone was just stolen in 2000. But it was later found in Seattle and placed in storage at, I don't know if I can pronounce this, Washara County Police Department. Like, who the fuck chips away at somebody's headstone? People are ridiculous. Like, oh, I'm just going to take this as a souvenir. He took their faces as souvenirs.
I'm going to take pieces of his
really
gravestone.
Too.
Yeah. But it's fine.
People are crazy. So now I guess he just has like an unmarked grave.
No, they probably replaced it.
No, it's an unmarked grave.
Why would they leave it unmarked?
Because they're like, well, fuck him. He like, you know, stole people's
But he only
shit.
Got in trouble for killing one person. Yeah. And he didn't steal people's shit. He reinvented.
He stole their bodies.
Well, he stole their skin. And he put it to good use. I mean, you know, technically he took something dead and brought it back to life.
You're disgusting.
I'm just fucking kidding.
So the Gein property, this is crazy, was appraised at $4,700 in 1958.
Damn.
In 2018, the value of that would be equal to $41,000.
That's insane, too. Mm-hmm. What, is 151 acres?
Yep.
Wasn't it?
155.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Like, God.
It's crazy.
That's like 10 acres less than some people I know have, and they paid over $200,000 for their property and house.
It's nuck and futz, huh?
Yeah, it's nuck and futz indeedio.
So the possessions, like their possessions that the Geins owned, were scheduled for auction, public auction, on March 30th, 1958. Along with this, there were rumors that the property would become a tourist attraction. However, on March 20th, just 10 days before the set auction, the house was destroyed in a fire that occurred after a disposal fire by the cleaning crews spread to the house. And they suspected that it was arson, but they never really looked into it too much. They must have been like a very poor county that they just couldn't investigate all these crazy things.
Or they were lazy.
Maybe. Ed Gein's 1949 Ford sedan, the one that he used to haul the bodies, was sold during a public auction for $760. And in 2018, that would be equal to $6,600.
You know, I really like it when you do this little thing here where you do the comparative to, like, nowadays.
It's
how cool, much
huh?
that. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's crazy. The difference.
Yeah. And really, $760 is worth more in the past than like $6,000 is
it's
worth
nuts.
To us now.
Right, absolutely. The guy that bought the truck, his name was Bunny Gibson, and he used it in a carnival sideshow where he charged 25 cents to each curious carnival goer.
That's fucking gross.
Yes.
Like,
people,
if you look here, there
disgusting.
Are some hairs and some brain matter.
You can still see a little bit of blood right there. Like,
yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, Bunny.
There's a little chunk of skin.
Bunny. What kind of a name is Bunny? Sideshow carnival guy.
Oh my God. Bunny Gibbons.
Yes.
Remember when we got my car?
Yeah.
His first name was Bunny.
Nuh-uh. Oh my God.
Swear to God. It's not his real first name.
Okay.
But I was, you know, like when we met, I was like, so, is your name really Bunny? And he was like, as a matter of fact, no.
That's so funny. So yeah, this was the Ed Gein episode.
And it was a mean Gein, so...
I don't know if I'm too keen on it. I'm just kidding.
I ain't too keen on no Ed Gein, that's for sure.
But, yeah, it's fucking nuts.
Like, I
like
that,
that,
like, from the hip spinal cord lamp thing. That was pretty cool.
If you guys want to go look at the pictures, do it on your own discretion. I'm not going to post any pictures of the items, but there are tons of pictures online. Like, I'll probably post pictures of, like, the trashed up house and, like, pictures of him and his mean mugging mama.
If I'm
mean mugging
not
mama.
Mistaken, I believe that there were some
fucked up pictures.
Some fucked up pictures. Yeah. Like some of the stuff that was in the background of the clutter was unavoidably, you know.
It's crazy.
Body parts.
It's crazy. Pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the Ed Gein case.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Peace out.
Just want to mention real quick, make sure to follow us on Instagram because that's where we usually post a lot of the stuff about our episodes. And we just want to be friends with you guys.
Yes.
It's fun.
We do.
If you want to become a Patreon member, you can find us on there and become a member for as little as one doll hair a month.
One doll hair.
Just one doll hair.
That's right. You mail us one doll hair and we will accept it.
Yeah, and we'll send you out some stickers and some goodies, and you'll get access to all of the stuff we have on our Patreon page.
That's correct.
It's a fun time.
Always more to come. Always more to come as well.
Yeah, we've been doing like some little votes on there, letting our Patreon listeners vote, you know, to what they want to hear and stuff like that. It's really cool. Yep. And, oh, also, we want to thank you guys because we have almost hit 5,000 plays and downloads. How crazy is that? So, thank you guys so much.
Thanks.
We love you. We love you. We love you.
Woo!
And one more thing before we head out. Don't forget that we have our live event coming up in Ohio. We have all the information on our Instagram page. And we'd love to see you guys there. It's going to be fun. We're so excited to actually finally like see some of you guys in person. So
yeah,
make sure you come and hang out with us.
Totally. It'll be a good time.
Yes.
And it's free.
Yeah, we're doing it for free. So come out and hang out with us because we cannot wait.
Yes.
I'm like jumping up and down in my chair right now. Boing, boing, boing. All right, guys. Well, we love you. Yes. Yes.
Most certainly we do.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Until next time.
Adios, amigos.
That was a Titancast episode.